Welcome, welcome, welcome to the latest edition of The Fast Break. As always, I'm your host, Blake Rogers. And I know, man, I've been MIA for a while. I'm sorry, I've been busy. New transition in my life right now. But I'm back to it. I'm back to my passion. And we got the Travis Scott album review, Birds in the Trap Sing McKnight. Weird album title, but it is Travis Scott. Everything about him is weird. A lot of hype surrounding this album. He's been teasing it for a while now. Rodeo, huge fan of Rodeo. Actually, you know, got me to start liking Travis Scott. Now I was on the fence about him. I was like, you know, this new sound, this new wave, I don't know how I feel about it yet. Then Rodeo just completely changed my perspective. I heard about Days Before Rodeo, really didn't, you know, get into that yet. So I heard Rodeo, like, this is the first album release, whatever. Then I backtracked the Days Before Rodeo, all the pre-release stuff, and here I am now. I'm on the Travis bandwagon, and I'm proud of it, to say the least. So without further ado, let's get into the album review of Travis Scott's second premiere album, Birds in the Trap, Sing McKnight. Coming into this album, there's a lot of hype surrounding this. You know, he held back release dates. He was teasing it for a while. And coming into this, I was like, you know what? I can't compare it to Rodeo. Travis at a new level. Travis is at a, you know, different spot in his life right now. It's going to sound nothing like Rodeo. And that's what most fans make the mistake of doing. They try to compare albums with each album with its old, you know, identity. Look at Tyler, Creator, for instance. Bastard, Goblin. It was more darker, more grittier. I Hate You, Dad. You know, he had like a chip on his shoulder. Now, you go to Wolf and Cherry Bomb. It's more happier. I mean, and it's not as dark as it used to be. Like, Tyler, like, found that light. And that's what you got to do. A person changes, and you have to deal with that and accept that as a fan. The knock on Travis Scott is that his sound is good. It's different, but his lyrics. Personally, I don't have a problem with it. If it sounds good, it sounds good. I'm not going to play or hate on you, you know?
I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know you, and I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else but you.
But the problem, you know, that most people have with Travis is the lyrics. I personally don't. But, you know, I run into encounters like that. So, let's start off. The Ends. First song of the track. Love the snare drum ticker. I thought it was dope. The Illuminati line, you know, that was cool. That was cool. Like, the beat was like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, it was nice. In the most respectful way, I wasn't a huge fan of Andre 3K's verse. The more I listened to it, it grew on me. But initial listen, I just wasn't a fan of Andre 3K. And I mean in the most respectful way because he's a great artist. I respect him profoundly. But the Andre 3K, you know, I really could have done without it. And that's rare because Andre 3K is known for his features and the solo work as well. Speaking of solo, Solo Reprised. Off the Frank Ocean album, he killed it, and I'll do a review on that later on. But I just want to get Travis Scott out because, you know, that's my boy. Like, I love Travis Scott. So, I wasn't a fan of it. It was an okay intro song. It was alright, but you know, it didn't. The difference from let's go. And I said I'm not compared to Rodeo, but I will take, you know, bits and snippets and kind of examine that. Let's look at Rodeo for Pornography. Pornography is one of my favorite tracks off that album. From Rodeo, he killed it. Like, set the tone. He had the T.I. intro, you know. This, I didn't know where the album was going. Had no idea where it was going, but I wanted to deal with it. Way Back, second track. So dope. Fell in love with the song the first listen. It was like Careless World. You know, back when Tyga was hot. It's like the Careless World intro. Like, damn. This is sweet. This is dope. Like, it's going to be real nice. And then the breakdown. The Careless World had the breakdown. I was like, okay, why did he break it down? Cause it was cool. Like, you don't need two beats in the same song. That's hard to that's hard to do. Some people think, you know what, let's just make two beats in one song, but that's hard to do, and Travis didn't do that completely. Same thing with Tiger with the Careless World intro. It was dope at first, and then he just changed the beat all of a sudden. I was like caught off guard. But it was cool. Other than the breakdown, I you know, I like the song. Coordinate. Love the intro. Love the talking. My brother said that's one of his favorite tracks off the song. Me personally, it was alright. Like, it was cool. It took a while for the momentum for this album to get going. You know, Travis' earlier works, like, you can just boom, boom, momentum, bang, 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 bang. This was like, you know, it's cool because it's Travis. I'm giving him benefit of the doubt, but I don't know yet. But then, I don't know yet turns into certainty because Through the Late Night, wow. Kid Cudi was Travis Scott's role model. Travis Scott really looked up to Kid Cudi. He's like, man, like, I guess, you know, Kid Cudi gave him a compliment in an interview, and Travis Scott was like, whoa, he was so overwhelmed with emotions. Like, you know, like, he loved Kid Cudi. And you can tell the Kid Cudi influence in this song. Through the Late Night was amazing. Have nothing wrong to say about Through the Late Night. I thought it was pretty cool. Travis Scott did use the Day and Night verse from, you know, Kid Cudi's original song, Day and Night, obviously. I thought that was pretty cool. Use the same tone, the same tempo. I was like, kind of like the passing, you know, of the guard, in a sense, you know. Because Kid Cudi, you know, hasn't been the premier figure that he was, you know, back in the mid-2000s, or, you know, late 2000s. And I think it was just cool for Travis, you know, look at Travis' point of view to be like, yo, I'm making a song with Kid Cudi. And for it to turn out to be one of my favorite songs off the track, it's cool. Can we, like, Kid Cudi's humming is on point. He has, like, that distinctive tone. Like, even, I think it was Last Chain of Big Sean and Nas off of Big Sean's Hall of Fame album. Stunting like I had my last chain. Like, Kid Cudi's humming is great. He has that distinctive tone, that distinctive voice that can get away, you know, with the humming skills that he has. Through the Late Night was dope. I was in Columbus last weekend for opening weekend for football, and it was nothing but just bumping the Travis Scott album because, you know, he has that flame now. He's La Flame for a reason. One thing I want to make a quick note of is that usually with Travis songs, it takes, like, a while for him to end the song. He usually, like, drags it out, like, even, like, 3500, like, took a while. It's not saying it was bad, but the transition with this album is, okay, let's end the song. It was more, like, standard. It was more protocol, per se. Okay, let's get the ending. Let's go to the next track. Ending, next track. With Travis, usually, you know, long ending, then a long intro, long ending, long intro. It takes a while for the beat to get going, but with this, he just kind of, like, you know, he just dived right in. Was leaving the Biebs in the trap. Snorting three lines like Adidas. No doubt, best verse in the whole song. And the thing about Biebs in the track, you hear it's like, okay, did Justin Bieber make a, you know, appearance? Because they are cool. Travis appeared on No Sense off of, you know, Justin Bieber's latest album. So maybe, you know, Biebs did the same, you know, with him. That was not the case. It wasn't Justin Bieber. The artist was Nave, I don't know. It's NAV. He's another, you know, Canadian Toronto sound. And he sounded like Bieber a little bit. If I tell you, listen to this, he sounded like Justin Bieber with the auto-tune. You know, Bieber has the juice. And I figure, like, the dude sounded a little bit too cocky to be Bieber. I feel like Bieber went through his cocky phase. He's not really, like, on that per se anymore. So I was like, nah, this couldn't be Bieber. I did the research and it was him. But Biebs in the Trap was dope. Everything was on point. The beat was nice. Which leads me to SDP Interlude. I'm a huge fan of interludes. I think interludes are great. The thing that makes interludes so good is that it leaves you wanting more. It's so good. It's like, okay, why isn't the actual song? Why is it an interlude? Drake is real good at interludes. Bria's interlude. Bird Alive interlude. CeCe's interlude. You know, you get my drift. I can go on and on and on about just interludes and how integral it played. And SDP just played that role. Like, it was dope. Smoke on a drink, one pop one. Like, it's cool when it brings out that, you know, that drug influence, that alcohol influence, that party influence that Travis Scott is all about, and what, you know, what he's known for. So definitely a huge fan of SDP. It's like a Power Ranger, SPD Emergency. Did not like that season, but that's a whole different story. So let's go to Sweet Sweet. Sweet Sweet, baby, that's Sweet Sweet. Had that Caribbean trap vibe, which is hot right now. Like Tory Lanez, Drake again, just that Caribbean type of like trap. Like it's a new little genre, that pop can type of style. Like it's popular, and Travis Scott hopped on it and it worked. Like I said, I was in Columbus, and that's, we played that song probably 4 or 5 times in a row. It was hot. It was hot.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
I like that, the high-pitched sound that he had. And then, like, the guitar at the end. The guitar strings remind me of when Andre 3000 breaks down the guitar. Like, in the song 16 with Rick Ross. And, like, with Pyramids Part 2 with Frank Ocean. It's like little solo guitar string that makes everything just sounds like, whoa, just ties everything all together. Outside, couldn't do it, man. I didn't like it from the start. I believe Savage 21 was on that feature. He was cool. I don't, you know, listen to him like that. But the intro was just so creepy. And even for me, I know Travis is, you know, known for his little, you know, weird idiosyncrasies. But this, I just, like Randy from American Idol, I couldn't do it, dog. The beat wasn't there for me. The lyrics are cool. The lyrics was cool, but the beat, and it's like, with shows now in society, like people, you know, I might be part of the problem as well, but people do care about more about the overall sound. They can like ignore the lyrics. I'm breaking up with you. There's two ways you can be like that. You can either scream and make everything worse, but you know what? This is great. This is awesome, but I'm breaking up with you. Instead of, I'm breaking up with you. It's two different sounds to it. Which one sounds better? You know, the words might be the same, but what sounds better? And for this, the sound wasn't there for me. And Travis Scott is known for his sound. Gosh, I probably said the word sound 50 times in 30 seconds. Which leads me to Goosebumps. Hated the books, reading up. I'm not like Goosebumps. Even the word Goosebumps just creeps me out. But Goosebumps was on point. As soon as you hear it, it's like, I'm wild up. As soon as you hear the first drop, like, okay, let's go. Let's get it. And then Travis did his thing. Then Kendrick just comes over. And Kendrick can be hit and miss on features, but most of the time it's hit. Kendrick is that type of artist that he'll take over the spotlight. You know, like, even with Control, like Big Sean had to outduel Kendrick. You know what I'm saying? Kendrick is the type of dude, like, he will take over your song and won't feel bad about it whatsoever. It's like, I'm Kendrick, bow down, this is what I do. And Kendrick killed it. The thing with the knock on Kendrick for me personally, and I love him, like I said, I think To Pimp a Butterfly is one of the greatest albums we had out in a while. The thing with him, he overdoes just a little bit. He overdoes his part. When he used the high pitched tone towards, you know, because the flow was dope. He was killing the flow. And you get the high pitched tone, and it's like, oh, all right, Kendrick, was that necessary? But then when you replay and listen to the song again, that's all you look forward to. So Kendrick is known for that, for overdoing it. But in this instance, it's worked. Like, he just raises his tone. And I thought it was cool. And the hook was dope too. I got that goosebumps on my mind, yeah. Like, it's cool. Which is weird, because then we transition to First Take. Even by the word First Take, you just like, all right, this has to be feels. Like, Travis does get in his feels on this song. He has a different way of going about it. He's not going to be so straightforward and blunt. Like, you know, some artists are. Tory Lanez, for instance. But the thing I like about First Take is it has a nice pace to it. Indiana pacing. I know it's not basketball season yet, but it had a great pacing to it. It wasn't depressing as most feels tracks are. It still had a bouncy flow to it. It was like, it's cool. It's just like kind of ride beat. It's like a melancholy type of feel. But then when you hear that Bryson Tiller, yeah, yeah. Bryson Tiller sounds like Jakees a little bit to me. Just the sound. like just the sound. No knock on any of them, both talented, but sounds like a little bit of the Keys. Not a knock, but you can definitely tell that Bryson Tiller had a huge, huge influence on the song. And First Take is just dope. It reminds me of Impossible off of Rodeo. One of those just like chill, like just think about it songs. And I think it's cool. Same with 90210. Just had like a nice little flow. And that's why I like Travis so much, is that he knows when to turn it up, but he can also turn it down a little bit, that notch. And I respect him for it. I really do. Now, I move on to the most hated song. Not only on the album, but I hate this song. This is the most hated song that Travis Scott has ever made. I don't know what it is. I just hate this song. And that song is Pick Up the Phone. Pick up the phone, baby. Pick up the phone. I just don't like it. I don't like the song. I think, and it sucks because Travis Scott, Young Thug, they blend so well together. This just wasn't doing it for me. There's too much going on. And like I said, if I'm lit and they're playing this, maybe I can get away with it, with listening to it. But I hate this song. Doesn't sound good to me whatsoever. And like I said, I like Travis and Young Thought. That, you know what? That might be a, knowing how this generation is, that might be a rap name in a couple of years. It's Young Thought. If I do, I want endorsement credits for that. But I just can't get up to pick up the phone. Sorry. Like I said, maybe if I'm lit and drinking, then you know what? Sure. I might nod my head to it just a little bit.
Not a lot, baby girl, just a little bit.
But other than that, I couldn't do it. Lose. Sounds like a mix between Kevin Gates' Really Really and Travis Scott Zombies from Days Before Rodeo. I'm all about deep trumpets blaring. I love the trumpet sound. There's a lot of dope songs with trumpet influence in it. Like Chance the Rapper, like most of his songs have that trumpet, that Donnie Trumpet in the Social Experiment. So I'm all about trumps. I thought it was cool. Not Donald Trump. I hate talking politics, but when I see a pun, I go for it. But with Lose, it was cool. Travis does a great job promoting his album. He opposed Pick Up His Squad. It was a squad influenced song. So I talk about your squad, like, we got nothing to lose. Like, we're dope. Like, people are gonna love us and hate us as a crew, and that's what most crews go to. You got lovers, you got haters, but at the end of the day, you got your homies, and that's all that matters. I think Travis has a, you know, he's an outlandish figure, but he does juggle his personalities and his songs, and that's what makes him so great. He can be hype boy, let's, you know, do drugs, blah blah blah, and then we can get in our feels and go to First Take, like, you know, baby, you know, I got feelings too. So Travis, and he got Lose, like, okay, squad, let's wild up again. So that's cool. Guidance sounds like a party next door, not nice. Like I said, that upbeat track, you know, the little bouncy influence to it. Songs like this comes in high success. Guidance with those little beats, it comes in high success. And I'm usually on iffy on songs like this, either I love it or I hate it. But Travis did a great job, and it sounded like a Street Fighter Third Strike soundtrack. And that's a compliment, because if you know Street Fighter and the Third Strike, you played that game. The soundtrack was dope. Like, for each character, they had their own identity and their own song from where they live at. And Guidance was cool, and I had no problem with that. Now, I was shocked. We last song on the album, Wonderful. I was shocked he put this on, because there's so many unreleased tracks from Travis, maybe like Fish and Grits that just like released with Wale. Then you have maybe like Three Ways, maybe Ty Dolla $ign and Travis Scott can split that song, I don't know. And you have Off the Hoochie as well, which I thought would make the album. So that was kind of weird to see Wonderful make it, but since it was out for so long, but it's still a good song. It wasn't the greatest ending, it's more of like a commercial ending. It wasn't like a dramatic ending like it was from his previous artworks, but nonetheless, Wonderful was cool. The Weeknd and Travis make more songs together. They actually blend pretty well. Pray for Love, they sounded great. Wonderful, that sounded great. So, you know, I would love to see them make another, you know, collab in the near future. Final thoughts on this album. The album isn't bad. Like I said, way different from Rodeo. With Rhoda, it was more storytelling, you know, and this coming out party, like, had Chip on the shoulder, like, yeah, I'm Travis Scott, and you will listen to me. This album was more, okay, I'm Travis Scott, you're listening to me, now listen to me more. He's definitely riding that success, that fame right now, and that's hard. The thing with this is that when you make your second album, it's usually make or break, because you have people that say, okay, the first album was nice, it was cool, can you do it again? And then you can do it another time. So the second and third album really makes and breaks your career. And with the hype surrounding this and how quick we are to, you know, attach to things as a society and generation, he should have no problem with this album. I heard nothing but good reviews about it so far. Like I said, when I first listened to it, I thought the replay value was going to be low. And then what happens is like a drug. You try free the first time, you get hooked on it. And that's how I'm with Travis Scott's album right now, Birds and Traps Sing McKnight. I was like, yeah, it was cool. Like originally I had like first listen, like maybe it's a 7.5. But as a fan, you don't judge everything off the first listen. You go, Matt, you go back, you research it. Do I like it? Do I love it? Maybe I'm just a nerd for doing that. But that's what most people do. It grows on you. And this album has grown on me. Rodeo was a 9. This album, Birds and Traps Sing McKnight, I'm gonna give it a solid 8. With the opportunity to go to an 8.5. My favorite tracks was Through the Late Night, Lose, First Take, SDP, and Way Back. And Biebs in the track was like, you know, outside the top 5. But other than that, best of luck to Travis. Hope he rides that way. Ride that way. That's Miguel Sweet. But Travis is pumping out music, man. He's pumping out features. He's really, you know, making his name out there. Kind of like reminds me of like Lil Wayne. Oh, and I hope he doesn't retire. But like Lil Wayne, like, made that hot to just do a bunch of features. Forget my own tracks. Let me do a whole bunch of features, and then people get me out that way, so I get everybody audience. And that's what Travis is doing similarly. I know it's been a while since I made a podcast, but thank you for listening to me. It might be a little bit rusty, but I'm back. I'm back, and I'm ready to go. Because I'm back on road. More album reviews coming up. I dive into football as well. Usually I do primarily basketball, but, you know, with NFL and college football season coming up, I will definitely give my takes on that. For the future, we got the Frank Ocean Blonde album review. Talk about a Feels track. That was Feels. Then you got a complete opposite with the Ray Shremmer 2 album. So the upbeat with a little bit of Feels in it. Well, I'm all about the Feels, if you haven't noticed. And I'm not even getting a Party Next Door 3 album. I'm sorry, guys. I couldn't do it. I love PND 1. I love PND 2. But PND 3, I couldn't even get through it all the way. And I still haven't gotten through all the way. It just wasn't barreled to me. Every song sounded the same. So there's my album review on PND3. So there you go. You got 2 album podcast reviews in 1. As always, thank you for listening. This is The Fast Break. And we are now on blogtalkradio.com. Check them out. You can check the whole crew out on there and our network. Thank you for Blog Talk Radio for picking us up. Thank you for listening to Fast Break. This is Blake Rogers. And you know what it is. As always, stay lit.